This is Kayla.
And this is Desi.
And you're listening to Sunday Sips.
Talks about the culture.
Cheers.
To episode 13.
Hoodrich.
Well, we are drinking Hennessy. And if you know me, you know I usually don't drink Hen. I actually have a theory about Hennessy.
What's your theory?
My theory is that Hennessy was designed by the government to make black people angry.
Oh, that was not where I thought that was going to go.
Oh, that's what I think. I think because every time I see people out drinking Hen, they always fight at the end.
I think Hennessy is a conspiracy to get you pregnant.
Oh, that can make you angry too if you didn't plan on getting pregnant.
I love child now.
Yeah, so basically Hennessy makes you passionate. Yes. Is what it does. So I usually don't drink it. I'm actually a tequila person, but since we were doing Hoodrich, I was like, what says Hoodrich like Hennessy?
I mean, I know a lot of times where I've been drinking some Hennessy.
I bet I could pair some of those stories I know of you with those times. So okay, that's what we're drinking today, Hennessy, and we have some Coke. Kayla, you don't drink Hennessy with Coke usually.
I usually just
drink the Hen
over rocks.
Mm. See, I ran out of ice. I didn't make ice like I should have. So there's ice being made. So we just got some really cold Coke and called it a day.
Yeah, I like it though. And then it'll last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do this podcast without slurring our words, maybe.
So how do you like it with the Coke?
It's good.
Easier to drink.
Yeah.
That was the plan because I really don't like Hen. But this is good. Like, I'm glad I bought the Hen. Yo, can I tell a story real quick about when I was getting this Hen?
Yeah.
I went to Giant Eagle inside the state liquor thing, and the guy who was at the counter, I was on the phone with Jacqueline, and I just got your text message about having, like, a bad day, and I was like, I'm gonna grab the big Hen. So I grabbed the Hen with, like, my hand, just, like, the big-ass bottle, and put up in the counter, and this guy looked down at me. He's probably, like, 6 feet, and he just looked and just started, like, nodding at me, like, good job. And he kept trying to talk to me, and I'm like, bro, I'm on the phone right now. Like, please, let me just get this Hen. He's like, what you about to do? Like, no, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No, it was too much. So that was the story of me picking up the Hen. So you got some news stories for us?
Yeah. You want to get into the news segment?
Absolutely. I think we talked about the Hen a lot.
All right. So it's called In Case You Haven't Heard. And my news is kind of all over the place. So first, I just want to say, well, we talk about like homeowner pains. And right now, Home Depot sales have soared to like 23%, and I think it's like due to everybody just being stuck in the house and trying to now do home improvement projects because we don't have anything else to do.
Wait, so is the price going up or is the price going down 23%?
It's going up.
What?
Like this, right? Like
why would it go up?
Because everyone's trying to like do some home improvements, so they're going to Home Depot and buying their lumber.
Remember when Home Depot was cheap and shit? Remember during COVID when I painted my whole, well, my parents.
See, you're part of it.
Yes.
You're supporting Home Depot.
Yeah, but it was when they were cheap. Remember you came and helped me pick out paint?
Yeah.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
That's when I got stuff from Home Depot. Why are they raising the price?
Their stock price is going up.
Oh. I thought you meant the price of their stuff.
No, their stock.
Oh, okay.
So had you bought Home Depot.
I should have. Oh, I'm the reason why their stock's going up because I'm buying the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they've been having sales.
Very well,
how much is the stock?
I don't know.
Should I buy it?
You can go on Robinhood.
That's a good idea. Oh my God, I thought you meant that their prices were going up 23%.
Their sales. Their sales soared 23%
yeah.
As DIY projects pick up. So, their stock is on the up.
Their sales stock is up.
Yes, because a lot of people are going and spending money at Home Depot, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
while
so they're like,
stockholders, because then their stock goes up. So, when like they report earnings and stuff, like high earnings is a good thing, and that pushes stocks up.
Yo, that makes sense, because when Disney Plus got Beyonce on there, I was like, damn, I should have bought stock in Disney. Like, you know when something is more desirable, you want some of that.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll move on.
Yeah.
So, we have to talk about the United States Postal Service.
Do we have to? Yeah.
I don't want to say a whole lot, but we do. So, like, I've been really, like, pushing, like, mail-in voting. You know, we've been talking about, we sent out to request our mail-in vote ballot.
Yes.
Mine hasn't come back yet. Mm-hmm. Is yours?
No, I gotta mail it.
Oh, you haven't mailed yours out yet? Okay.
I'm about to for real.
I mailed mine out maybe
It was last week.
Okay. A week and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah.
I put it on Instagram when I did it. But, so I haven't gotten it back yet. But I just want to, like, stress how important it is, like, go out and request it if you're a state that you need to do that. Because the big rigmarole is that the USPS is not delivering things as fast as they should be.
Did you say rigmarole?
I did. the whole deal.
Yo, I ain't never in my life heard that. Yo, you sound like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh for a minute. Is that a real word?
I don't know. I mean,
rigmarole. I like that.
The first time I've heard, I feel like I've heard that before. I don't know.
I've never heard the word rigmarole. I'm surprised I was able to say it back to you after hearing it for the first time.
Yeah. So
okay, keep going. What was the rigmarole?
That the post office is really slacking these days. So here's the thing. The new, like, postmaster is this guy named Bejoy, and he happens to be...
Postmaster Bejoy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He happens to be, like, one of Trump's big donors. Surprise.
So he about to stop the mail so Trump can win?
Exactly. Well, that's a conspiracy anyway. So he has, like, cut overtime.
Ooh.
Right, you know the post office. They be working overtime. Cut their overtime. They will not be happy. And then they're told to, like, if you don't make all the mail to all the houses that day, like, just leave it on the mail floor and get it tomorrow. Exactly.
On the floor?
Right.
And then leave it, like, on the floor.
Cut, like, their transportation budget. Which is, like, cars.
Cars be transportation.
Right. So, like, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when the postmaster sent out, like, this letter to, like, a lot of states saying your ballots might not get here on time.
I remember that shit. Because you reposted it on our Sunday Sips page.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Right, right. I'm just saying, like, do not let the man take us down.
The mailman?
The man. Like, get your ballots in early. Do not let them win. Like, this is...
Get it done quickly. And encourage your friends and get some copies. And this is just another way that the man is trying to keep
us down. Like, they're trying to, like, promote, like, saying that there's voter fraud when there really is no evidence.
Mm.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's lies. It's lies.
Okay. Next piece of news for you. Snatch the mic again.
I'm pretty fired up. So, let's go ahead and talk about Father Mike. Right. So, I mentioned, at least in the school episode, that, like, I went to a public or a private school.
Yeah,
and I went
to
St. Peter's. So Mansfield St. Peter's
Catholic school.
Catholic high school is where I went to school.
Yes.
Found
what
out
years?
Well, I graduated high school in 06.
Okay. It'll come
so
back in the story later.
Right. So my friend Laura sends me this article and says, "Hey, do you remember this guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Father Mike." And so he has, like, just the other day, like, this week, had been taken into custody by the FBI under suspicion or what have you of child pornography and grooming and I don't know. So, and he's been doing this, so they say, since, like, the 90s. Up until they just apprehended him, like, the other day.
That's why I asked what year you graduated.
So, he was, if you know anything about the Catholic Church, like, sometimes they rotate their priests around. And that is a thing that they do.
I did not know that's what you were going to say when you let, like, if you know anything about the Catholic Church.
If you know anything.
I didn't know you were talking about rotating priests. Keep going.
Well, they don't have a good reputation, and, you know, let's put it out there.
Okay,
like,
so they rotate their, so almost like when you're a teacher and do, like, the lemon dance to bounce around, like, teachers who they can't fire. So they do it past,
I guess,
with Catholic priests.
I don't know what the
reason is.
The reason behind it is, but all I know is that, like, every 4 to 5 years, like, a new priest comes in.
Okay, so this was the priest for your high school time.
Yeah, so Mike... Father Mike was there, so he was there from 2001 to 2007, which is exactly the time that I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this story, like, you hear on the news about, like...
You see it on Netflix.
You see movies about, like, Boston and, like, all these other dioceses, and, like, this one just hit, like, way too close to home. Yeah. Like, I know people who were altar boys at this church, probably serving at Father Mike's mess. Like... I don't know.
That's a crazy story. I remember when you told me this yesterday, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is something that you literally hear about in the news and now.
And it also, like, tells you that how, like, systemic that is within, like, the priesthood of the Catholic Church. Mm. Because people are doing it, like, all over different states, different cities. Mm-hmm. So Mansfield was, like, included in the Diocese of Toledo.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. I struggle because I was kind of raised Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, you did go to school Catholic for a long time.
And there's a
and
lot
your
of...
your family was Catholic.
Yeah, and a lot of it is comforting to me, but I also have a lot of, like, problems with it, this being one of them.
Yeah, it's a big problem to have with your religion, is this reputation.
So that's where I've been kind of losing my religion lately. But, yeah, that's enough about Father Mike.
Mm. Damn, Father Mike. Damn. You got more news.
Yeah, I know. It's running out long.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Keep going. This is important. I mean...
maybe if you remember, it's been a long, long, long time ago when Flint, Michigan was in the news.
My gosh. Yes. Didn't Queen Latifah make a Lifetime movie about the Flint water crisis or somebody?
I'm sure there's been multiple.
Like, I was like, how do we have money to make a movie about it, but we can't solve it?
Right. So, finally, like, just now... they came across a settlement. So there is a $600 million settlement for the people of Flint, Michigan over the, like, wet lead water crisis.
I feel like it should have been more.
Well, I'm hearing that that's, like, a really large amount. Like,
but how many people have been affected? How many?
So many.
Thousands of people.
So many.
Or hundreds. I don't know, but I feel like it's a lot of people, because how long has it been? It's not like it was fucked up water for a year.
Yeah, and people were like,
that's not even $1 million a family.
Like, they were trying to go after people for past due water bills.
Right, like, what the fuck am I paying for?
Exactly.
This poisonous mud?
Right, and then people who, like, were getting rashes and had to buy bottled water because you can't even drink the water.
So think of all that, now think of $600 million.
Yeah, and then think of all, like, the developmental issues that these children are going to have.
Absolutely.
Because they are the most vulnerable group.
Yes, and now that's the genetics that's going to be passed down. Like, jacked up people's lives. I don't know. I would love to see how they're going to give this money and how much it's going to be. Like, is this going to be like a COVID check and everybody just gets $1,200 dropped into the account who live in Flint?
Maybe.
What if you move? What if you move because the water was so fucked up you had to leave?
I did hear most of it's going to children and young adults who have been affected because they were the most vulnerable group.
Okay.
But hey.
Bless their little hearts.
Maybe more will come.
Yeah, that should be the down payment to get the conversation started.
Yeah. Oh, wait, well, I just have one little other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're talking about schools.
Yep. Oh,
last episode. So, like, colleges are opening up now.
And what's happening,
and
Kayla?
They're getting COVID. Mm. Like, shocking. But real quick, Oklahoma State University, like, their whole sorority house got infected with COVID.
Sorority house? All of them.
I mean, because they had to quarantine. They all live together. They live
That's
in so.
True.
Have you ever? You're a sorority sister.
We didn't have no house.
Oh, you didn't have
no house? No, we was black in UK. They didn't let us have no house.
I'm sorry.
I got to see white people's houses, and they was nice as fuck.
Well, yeah. Notre Dame. You know, that's a big, big school name.
Now it's got big COVID.
Yep. So, there's other ones, but just. This is not going to work, so we called it anyway.
We showed it months ago. So now let's talk through our topic. You said it earlier. It is hood rich.
Mm-hmm.
So let's first talk about what is hood rich. What's your definition of hood rich?
So we were talking about hood rich and broke rich and what was the difference.
Yeah.
Because I think in my mind, they're not the same thing. To me, hood rich is if you are, let's say... looking at a spectrum, if you are at one end of the spectrum...
financially?
Yeah.
Okay.
And lifestyle, everything else.
Yep.
Socioeconomically. And you're trying to buy things that are way on the other side, that are, like, very, like, high-end luxury,
mm-hmm.
and they're mostly material.
Like beer, like, budget, champagne diet.
Yes, I was going to say that next.
That's hood rich.
That's hood rich.
What's broke rich to you, then?
Broke rich is... doing things, buying things that maybe you can afford, but they're, like, on credit.
Mm.
So you really can't afford it, to be honest. But you're putting it on the MasterCard, you're putting it on American Express, or you're making it, spreading it across three payments of $19.99.
for 24 years.
Like, doing things that, like, maybe is not in your best interest. Got it. Is not helping you build wealth.
Got it. So my definition of hood rich is actually one I agree with, and it comes from Urban Dictionary. That's where I found it. And it's detrimentally expending one's income on luxury goods while negating necessities. And so when I think of hood rich, I think of it as you have this aspiration of what type of life you want, and you want to be seen as successful. And you know that people who know you and don't know you will look at you and based on how you look determine how successful you are. Mm-hmm. So you're so focused on your look that you will deny yourself the opportunity to, like, invest your money or pay down the necessities. Because it's more important that you can, like, front like you got it. Mm-hmm. But you are not taking care of your basic needs. And I think that it ties into, like, why people think like this. I think that media and music and culture have a lot to do with the hood rich mentality. Yeah. So even the song we were singing, like, I was like 10 years old when that came out, and I knew the words to it. And it was literally saying, can't pay my rent because all my money's spent. It's it's called Still Fly, and I know Birdman was on it.
Remember, I know Kanye is canceled, but in the day, like, his first album that we loved, and he was talking about when he got his first advance, he would go spend it on a, like, watch or something.
Oh, that song All Falls Down. It's like, yeah, I'm so self-conscious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I spent $400 on this just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this. Yep. I can't even go to the grocery store without some ones that's clean. Yes, yep, girl, yep, my yep. song.
That to me is like the
that's real. And he's like, the drug dealer by Jordan's, crackhead by crack, and the white man get paid off of all of that.
And it's awful.
That was my shit.
Yeah.
But that was a real ass song, and he identified it, and then he tried to say that slavery was a choice, motherfucker. That's why we can't fuck with you no more. You lost your fucking mind. It was big timers. Okay, Still Fly came out 2002, so I was 10 turning 11. But literally, it said, like, I got everything in my mama's name, but I'm hood rich. And it's because you look like you got it because you still at your mama's house. And I think, so that plays into, like, that culture. And I think it also comes down to people don't have financial education. People don't learn how to spend money. When we think of success, we think of success as, like, you look like you made it, you have nice things, you can do nice trips. No one talks about success as you can retire. No one talks about success being you have money in the bank that nobody will ever see. Like, that's successful.
Yeah.
But no one ever talks about that because we don't get financial education. Like, not everybody does.
Not everybody does. Obviously, I went to school for this.
Yeah.
But I remember in high school wanting to take a personal finance class, but then, like, they wouldn't let me take it. I've always kind of had a conservative side to me. And where I have been, like, I've had a job since I was 16, and I've been very meticulous about my money. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm not really sure where it came from, because...
But didn't your mom make you get a job when you were younger? Yeah,
she definitely did. She definitely,
not like... all parents do that, so some people just don't understand how hard it is to work for money until they got bills.
Yeah, because I knew, like, I was basically making minimum wage, mm-hmm. and I still to this day, like, measure things in, like, hours of work. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I want to, like, buy these, like, new shoes, I'm like, oh, they're $100. That's, like, 2-3 hours of work. Like, I, like, measure things with, like,
you get paid $50 an hour.
No, I don't.
I'm about to say, girl, I'm coming to your job immediately. I work all damn day.
I'm speaking it into the universe.
Girl, if you get paid $50 an hour for anything, I will be the best at it. Okay. Yeah. But you learned that, but not everybody does. Like, so... So speaking about financial education, I do want to say this, and I learned this in my education degree. So I took a class with Miss Denise Probst, best teacher I ever had. I shout her out all the time. It was a educational management class, and we learned about parents and families. And so she broke it down that if you are generationally lower class, you learn money is meant to be spent. If you are generational middle class, you learn money is meant to be saved. And if you are generationally upper class, money is meant to be invested. Based off of how your family has been conditioned to money. That is how, unless that system is interrupted, you will spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was talking to my man. I have a man. I'm just going to say it. Fuck it. And we were talking, and he said that, like, our families teach us how to make money, but they don't teach us what to do with it. And that makes sense. And I think that's why hood rich affects people who are inner city and oftentimes Black and Latinx, because based off of, like, the systems in America and, like, not being able to own homes, not being able to pass down generational wealth, we have been conditioned to, we have systemically not been in control of our money because we have been denied opportunities to get it. So yeah. Even when we make it, we've never been taught what to do with it. So it's easier to, if I don't know how to be successful with the money as far as investing, I will look successful. And I think that is a big piece in where we see it play out in, like, culture and music. Like, think about who it infects, who it impacts. And it's because generationally, systemically, people have not been in charge of their money because they've been denied opportunities to make it and learn what to do with it and to pass it down. So now when you get it, I got to spend it quick because I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, that's real.
And I think that needs to be talked about is we need to teach people what to do with money. We need to have financial literacy classes. Otherwise, people will continue to say my success is in my closet and not my success is in my stocks.
Yeah. When you were saying, like, generational, I have benefited from some generational wealth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I
know. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, like, so... bring it down real quick. Like, my grandma had two uncles who were wealthy and didn't have children of their own, so she inherited money from them when they passed. And then when my grandma passed, just a little bit of, like, a year or two ago, there was money left over from her bank account, and that was dispersed amongst her children, which is my mother and aunts and uncles, and then hopefully my mom will leave me something. But
see, I feel like in my family, I will say my mom and my dad are doing well. My mom's smart with money. My mom's father, grandpa's smart with money. But I think that is the family lineage that's, like, really gotten it together. Like, my dad's side of the family, he's the first generation, like, actually born here. They're from Puerto Rico. So they were immigrants. My mom's side of the family is from Newberry, South Carolina. They... you know, my great grandmother picked cotton. Like, yeah, like, she told me about that. Like, so I feel like my family has possibly taken longer to inherit that wealth, even though they are very capable of doing it.
Right.
But, like, because of that, they're teaching me what they know now and they're passing stuff down now. But how many generations? Because you're talking about your white side of family.
Yes.
Like, I love your white side of family, but they are white. Like, I love them. I really do. Like, but the white.
I love the hand gesture.
I just open my arms to the truth. But you have to think about it that way. So, like, we have hundreds of years we're catching up to. And who
valid.
Taught us what to do with that? So then when you are a child and no one's teaching you that and you look to people that are your role models, you see their shit. And you say, when I get older, I'm going to get this. When I get older, I'm going to get this. And if you grew up with no money and it was the first day of school and you wanted Jordans, but you couldn't get Jordans, when I grow up, I'm going to get a pair of Jordans that I wanted because I couldn't get them when I was young. Then you get older, make some money, you go buy all the Jordans and you wear them shits.
Yeah. I think, especially after talking with, like, other people, I probably have this knowledge just because I went to business school.
Oh, absolutely.
So I have to remind myself, like, not everybody knows this.
Yes. And that's why I think also sometimes when people don't want to go to college, and I hear people say that college isn't for everybody, I think you need to further your education in a way where you can at least learn the things that haven't been taught to you.
Yeah, for sure.
So even if you inherit a family business, do you want to take that business to the next level? Do you want to make sure it can sustain itself 20 years? Go to school. That's another thing, like, who has access to further their education or just go straight to work?
Yeah. I think you know what? I was gonna say, well, you talked about my white family.
Uh-huh.
On my dad's side, I am the first one to have a college degree.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool. I know my dad's really proud of me for
that.
He
should be. Yo, your dad's hilarious. When's he coming back?
I don't know, but we're about to go party in Charlotte in October.
Oh, I'm excited. Damn, girl. Make sure you wear a mask on the plane. I know. You get to use that new luggage we bought.
Yeah.
We was acting hood rich for a minute getting all them damn shits.
Man, we got so much luggage. Well, no. I got so much luggage. I got one carry-on. She got a whole matching three-piece set.
I sure did. Those nice as fuck. Oh, my God. So another thing that I think we should talk about is how pride plays into hood richness.
Okay.
So let me play out a scenario for you. Let's say you have a group of friends and y'all all start y'all's relationship all making the same amount. Or
of money?
Close. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they get promotions,
mm-hmm,
and they want to go do the shit. And y'all used to hang out together. Like, how
now
could,
you don't have the money.
Yeah,
to keep
how
up
could
with
social
them?
Pressure get you to act like you have stuff you don't have?
I can see that because I feel like I've been susceptible to that, or in situations where I've had.
Or is that hood rich or broke rich?
No, that's anything.
That's just acting like you're rich.
That's just living life.
Okay.
Because you'll always be in situations where you have to choose and make a choice, mm-hmm, on whether do I want to buy this thing or do this vacation or,
uh-huh,
yada yada with my friends. It's not going to fit my budget and it's going to be really tight, or I'm going to move some shit around.
Like
or
that Kevin Hart skit, that my checking account.
Yeah. Like my bank account, I really set up like that. The way my bank account set up. If you're going to do all of that, then you shouldn't be doing it.
But I think that's the thing though. Like sometimes you try and keep going with the people you with.
But sometimes you gotta say, you know what?
I got it.
The way my bank account is set up, I can't do it this time. So I'm gonna be over here doing a staycation while you're doing a vacation.
So you know I'm like a huge anti social media. I just hate so. I wish social media didn't exist. Now that it's here, I'll deal with it.
We have to. It's the way of the future.
Yeah, and we have an IG page. But can we talk about how social media has, like, really impacted hood richness? Because I feel like people would be stumped for the gram with stuff they don't got.
Yes, and there's a lot of comparing. And I fell into it, too. Like, you start to compare yourself to your friends or to, mm-hmm, people you don't even know, just that you follow, mm-hmm, celebrities. And, like, they're only showing their best selves on Instagram.
And it might be rented.
And it might be altered.
And rented and borrowed and...
And just not
and
even
filtered.
There. So, but we want to, you know, quote unquote, live up to the Joneses or keep up with the Joneses. When really the Joneses are fronting too.
Like a bitch.
The Joneses got credit card bills passed due.
I think some people who have social medias want to portray they are a certain person so they can feel better about themselves, and if they have to put it on a credit card to do it, they will do it. And I think that is a problem. We should be working on ourselves so we feel good no matter how many likes we get.
And don't compare yourself. This is like my daily mantra. Kayla, don't compare yourself. Because I do it all the time. I do it, but it's not good. And no
and
one,
it's all fake.
No one is alike. There's no two people that are alike. Be you. Be unique.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to follow the crowd. Be a trendsetter.
And I just think that it's just all fake and people see through it. Whether they want to admit it or not, they see through it. And if they continue to motivate what's fake, it's because they don't want to address their own realities.
Did I share my statistic yet?
No, please do.
Okay. And I heard this, like, on commercials, and I'm like, what? That don't even make any sense. But it's true. 70% of adult Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account. So, like, if they had an emergency come up, they couldn't come up with $1,000 to fix that emergency. That's most Americans. Like, that's over half. So that's crazy.
And I bet if we broke it down by race and class, it'd be completely
different.
It'd be worse.
And honestly, in this study, they asked a couple more questions. So 42% of people said they had $0 in their savings account. Right. Your head just dropped. Right, exactly. So, I know. I know. I used to work baking jokes.
You can't put $50 in there.
I'm aware of, like, people, there's a lot of people who are, like, underbanked, the underbanked community.
What's underbanked?
Underbanked is people who don't even have a bank account, or they don't even have a bank in their community.
Like,
and
a Walmart card
they're not
or
being
something.
Serviced properly.
Like a Walmart card, or, like, you have nothing?
Like, they don't even have, like, a bank branch. They don't.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I was fortunate enough, like, my mom just early on, even before I had a job, like, just opened me a savings account.
Yeah.
Just to learn about money.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I had, like, $20 in there, but, hey, that was my $20, and it grew over time. but...
And it goes back to financial education as a child.
Yeah, so, but a lot of communities are underbanked.
Yeah, yes, and what communities are those?
Well, marginalized, black, and maybe Latino, I don't know.
Brown, black and brown.
Probably all the communities where you can find a payday loan spot.
Next to a Subway.
That is the underserved community.
And that pisses me off.
That'll be a whole nother topic. Payday loans.
We'll get there. Okay. We'll get there.
So I would recommend to everyone to at least go for having $1,000 in your savings account. It's like a good like cushion and in case shit happens fund. That's what I call mine.
Yeah. Let's move into like what we should do about this, because I think it's easy to fall into the hood rich mentality. It's easy. Didn't we have fun shopping?
I love to shop. One of my favorite pastimes from childhood is shopping. Like, don't get me wrong. I like to simulate the economy. That's what I call it.
I call it retail therapy, which we'll talk about how hood rich is not self-care.
Yeah, like, just spending money and...
Yeah, but, like, so the thing is, like, what should people do about this if they feel like they are in a situation to where it's like, when I get money, I automatically think, how should I show my money?
Well,
like,
there should
what
be...
should we do?
There should be, like, a rule as to when you get your check, how much you put into savings right at the top,
mm-hmm.
how much, you know, will cover your bills,
mm-hmm.
how much you want to save. Mm-hmm. Did I say that already? I don't know.
Save twice. If you're hood rich, save twice. Keep going. And you should have your play money, and your play money doesn't dip into anything else. Like, so the first thing I think people need to do is... get therapy.
Now that you're not going to a whole therapist?
No, because listen to this. Like,
you gotta change your mentality, though.
That's what I'm saying. If you are somebody who uses retail as retail therapy, if you're somebody who does not know how to manage your money or can't think long term or has that idea of I have to show my wealth, like, you need to, even if not therapy, you have to do self work. Like, find some free shit to do. Like, get some sage on Amazon and burn it. Like, go hike. Learn to cook. Like, you need to work on yourself, because the material things will never help you. Like, it has been proven. There are scientific studies that when you buy things, like, that level of serotonin will rise for that moment and then go right back down to whatever was normal.
Yeah, that's real.
So, if you're buying things, that's not going to make you happy. So, you need to work on what will actually make you happy. And then I think we need to hold each other accountable. Like, if I see a friend who I know is broke and they done bought, like, a $600 purse, I'm like, ooh, girl, that's cute. I'm going to say, are you okay?
You would?
Yes.
Because I feel like...
Not like that, but I think that, like, we need to quit rewarding and, like, hyping people up for the things they have.
Okay.
Like, we should actually be checking on our friends and having real conversations.
Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, if... some friendships, you know, like, they might question why you're so interested in their finances, you know?
No, like, but it don't gotta be every friend. Like, you don't have to have all your friends. Like, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, we need to all be real with our finances, what we can afford, and be honest about that, and quit trying to front, and quit trying to think our Instagram friends are our friends.
Yeah.
And if I see someone struggling financially, but I see them still trying to do all these expensive things, I will tell them, like, hey, I can't afford that. I'm not going. Like, would you like to do something else with me?
That's
cool.
I think it's a good thing if you painted a scenario before of, like, if your friends kind of upgrade their lives and your life hasn't done that yet.
Yes, like, tell them it's okay.
For the friends on the other side to recognize that their friend isn't making the salary that you're making, and to suggest things that don't cost much or nothing at all, and be kind of sensitive to that too, because I think it's a two-way street.
Absolutely. Like, just because I'm making X thousand dollars doesn't mean my friends are.
Right.
And I shouldn't suggest things like,
let's go get mani-pedis when they're still, like, I don't know, like, just struggling to buy groceries.
Like, absolutely. Like, and you, I know, should, like, last and that's week, real I'm... conversations with our friends. Like, you should know how your friends are doing. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise to me you can't afford this.
I remember last week, like, before I got paid, I was like, I'm broke. Like, the whole week. And I was like, I'm not, like, poor, but, like, I'm broke.
That's why I told you, you didn't have to Venmo me for the food. I was like, girl, I will pay for the tacos. That's if nice. You want to, you can.
Yeah, and that was nice. Like, it you know, if your friend is broke, like,
help them.
Help them. Like, say, I got this brunch.
And then,
I
but then please taco. Bust them out if they come to you with that purse. Because, Kayla, I promise you, if you would have like, been oh, hungry, look, I got this new purse. I promise you, as a friend, I would have said, Kayla, but you hungry. That's my point.
Yeah.
Like, we should hold our friends accountable. Yeah. Like, I did buy me a new purse, but you know I can afford it. If I can't afford it, slap me. Like, hold me accountable. and I think that, honestly, we should popularize and normalize long-term wealth. I'm seeing on social media, like, a lot of people I know talking about, like, long-term wealth and investments. Mm-hmm. We need to, like, normalize that.
Like, that's my goal, because honestly, I don't want to work forever, and I would love to retire early. I know it's just, like, a fantasy that I have. It's not a reality, but I like to hold on to my fake fantasy of retiring early.
I don't know. I just feel like I am in this stride of what I want to do, and I don't see a day coming where I don't wake up and want to go after that. But what I want to do is be able to do what I love and not feel like I'm being held back because someone's paying for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to start a nonprofit, if I want to get my doctorate, if I want to keep doing my job, money talks. And, like, if I just want to go after what I believe in, I would like to not feel like, oh, but they're paying my mortgage. That's mm-hmm. why I want to be financially stable. So I can be in a place where, like, money is power, and I want to be able to be in control of what I want to do later.
I like that.
And I think that if more of us could get to that place as opposed to buying fucking purses and shoes and chains and G-Wagons and shit, like, we're focusing on the wrong things, and that's what people want us to do. Like, society the wants man. To focus on the wrong things.
The man.
And, like, I know I'm sounding very, like, the man, but it's the truth. Like, full if we circle. Focus on the right okay. things, put the money in the right places so we can, like, be so influential gotta, like, later.
Yeah, and, like, we gotta build black wealth again. And I'll still get my again. Purse.
Black girl. Yes, we do.
And this is why, like, I'm really feeling Beyonce right now.
Oh, Beyonce. I can't. But she's that's
really
why.
Giving me life.
Let's go ahead and preface. I think we should close soon because we still got lots of him to drink. but our next topic is going to be the black dollar, because when you text me that, I got yeah. so excited.
I was watching, like, this documentary, obviously.
I love documentaries.
Where all great ideas come from.
Yes! Yes!
And I was like, let's talk about the power of the black dollar.
That's next. And we appreciate you all. This was a fun-ass topic. We covered everything. Yeah,
do we
everything.
Get everything? Oh, there's no B-side.
No. So okay. What should people do? Yeah, we covered everything.
All right, so we got to tell people to like and subscribe again.
Like, subscribe again.
Write us a review. It's been a while.
It has, and reviews help us get visible. And we're trying to actually, talking about this generational wealth, like, can you help us?
We're trying to build our own.
We're trying to build something.
What else? I don't know. Like, send us an email at sundaysips@yahoo.com.
Follow us on Instagram.
Sometimes, like, I just had a story, like, maybe we could, like, show a little glimpse of ourselves every now and then.
We'll try.
I don't know.
We'll do it.
We're sexy.
Shut up, girl.
People want to see us. All right, we give the people what they want.
We appreciate you all. Like, subscribe, share, and give reviews. Bye, y'all.
Bye.